Absolutely delighted to be in with you tonight. We talk about a lot of stuff on this program and pretty much take all comers. Some are for us, some are against us. But as has been said before, you know, if we all agreed on everything, now there's some real chaos and absolutely no reason for being, no raison d'être whatsoever. So we'll take some of your calls with our guest tonight, Maurice Cotterell, Future Science, Forbidden Science of the 21st Century, and we'll get into some questions such as, at some point, could this subject relate to our evolution? Or perhaps, where did Jesus go when he disappeared for 30 years? We'll just ask whatever we want. You can always send an email to me at John B, J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, thank you very much, at coasttocoastam.com. I read them and I'll get some of your inquiries and maybe even a comment or two. You know, it's sort of like German. You can say whatever you want, but you must be polite. And we will return with our guest, Maurice Cotterell, in just a moment. Just hold on for about 2 minutes. This is Coast to Coast AM. Could I challenge you on one little point?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
In fact, I'm only challenging you by proxy.
Okay.
And that is, could we go back just maybe an hour? Just for one quick pickup. And that is this combination of names and things that wound up being Jesus, as in Chi and Zeus. Is that on the level?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't matter which religion you look at. As I said, if you start off with Krishna, which is the anointed one, the same as Christ, then you've got Buddha, who had several incarnations. He was the eighth incarnation of Brahma, Vishnu. I'm trying to think of the Indian deity. It escapes me for the moment. But he was the eighth incarnation of Vishnu. And then we have Tutankhamun, Tutankhamun, which is the living image of God, which is the son of God, because the child is the living image of the father. Then, if you go further forward than that, we have, who comes after that. We have Qin Shi Huangdi, which is the first emperor of unified China of about 220 BC. Qin Shi Huangdi, which means, again, the son of heaven. And again, he, like the first emperor of China, who came from 2637 BC, 2,000 years earlier. Again, he was in a dynasty of dragons. The dragon is part snake, part bird, part stag, which brings a lot of this together because Tutankhamun on his forehead carried the snake and the bird, the eagle and the vulture and the snake. Lord Peikal was known as Quetzalcoatl of the Maya, which is feathered snake. Viracocha is foam of the sea, the Viracochas of Peru. These are the tall white gods that walked the lands of Peru in ancient times. They created the lines of Nazca and the drawings of fertility and reincarnation, the hummingbird and things like that in the sands of Peru. And the foam of the sea is where we are perfect, because it's only when we walk in the foam of the sea that we embrace all of the four earthly elements, the worldly elements of earth, air, fire, and water. If we move towards the shore, we lose the water. If we move towards the sea, we lose the earth. So when we're in the foam of the sea, we are perfect. And that's why they called Viracocha foam of the sea in the Quechua language. And it's the same as the Hindu. The Hindu believe that the cow is sacred because it gives milk. The milky ocean was heaven for the Hindu. So Viracocha, foam of the sea, milky ocean, Jesus is associated with a stag because of the crown of thorns he wore on his head. Also because the stag sheds its horns once a year and the earth goes around the sun once a year. So the stag is associated with the sun. God is the sun, light. So Jesus as the son of God is associated with light, associated with the stag. And also the stag is a ruminator. It chews its food and then swallows it and regurgitates it and chews it again and regurgitates it. And this is the symbol of reincarnation. Like the hummingbird in Peru was a symbol of reincarnation. it goes forwards and backwards in time because it hovers. So once we look at all of these civilizations and we get the Son of God coming through in all of them in the same way, we realize that it's the same guy who keeps coming back over and over again, and he's the leader of all of the religions, except Islam, of course, which was Muhammad. He was not the Son of God. The Quran does not say Muhammad was the Son of God. He was a mere prophet. He wasn't born through an immaculate conception, like all of the other super gods were born through an immaculate conception, whether you look at Krishna, Jesus, Lord Paykal of the Maya, Tutankhamun. If you look at his the treasures in his tomb and decode them, it tells us he was born through an immaculate conception, that Akhenaten was not his biological father, it was only his stepfather. And again, if we look at all of these people, they were born through an immaculate conception. When they were born, a bright star was seen in the sky. When during their lifetime, they performed miracles. When they died, they became the bright star Venus in the sky, the morning star and the evening star. Now, Venus is the purest of light. It's actually a planet, but it reflects the sunlight so beautifully and perfectly. We call it the morning star because sometimes we can see it in the morning on the left-hand side of the sun. And 292 days later, as it goes around the sun, the only time we see it is when the sun sets, when it's on the right-hand side of the sun. So Venus is the morning star and the evening star, the twin star. And so this is why Jesus says on the last page of the Bible, I, Jesus, am the bright and morning star. Jesus was telling us he was Venus. Just like Lord Paykal in his treasures, he says he was Venus. He was the brightest and purest source of light in the heavens. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. Once you start to examine all these religious leaders, they share so much in common. They have to be reincarnates of each other because the bones of Lord Paykal, who left this story behind of being the bright star, of being conceived through an immaculate conception and all the rest of it, his bones were found in a pyramid in Mexico. At the age of 42, he died, and they've discovered his bones in 1952. Take the case of Tutankhamun. He was the son of God. His bones were found in a tomb in the Valley of the Kings by Howard Carter in the 1920s. So we know he lived and we know he died, but he brought the same story, that he was the son of God born through an immaculate conception. You know, there's this school of thought these days that says that all of these stories must be a myth because it happens so often throughout history that it must be a fairy tale sent to appease the masses to keep us all quiet. But it can't be because the bones have been found beneath all these pyramids and in all these tombs. It can't be a myth. So the only other explanation, given that they all brought the same story, is that it was the same guy who keeps coming back over and over again to teach us about God and why we're born and why we die and why this has to be.
Well, it's amazing how over the years, it's amazing how close all of this is together, and yet there's such division. So, I mean, we could debate that from now until Hades freezes over. Let me ask you something scientific. This is radically changing gears. I understand there's a magnetic pole shift that's somewhat in progress. Supposedly, the magnetic field is moving east at a rate of about, 4 kilometers per year or something like that. It might be 40. But I know that some of the airports are actually due to change the markings on their magnetic runway markings, but some of them are not doing it. Now, what does this portend for us? Is this an evolutionary opportunity? Is this if there were a magnetic flip, a pole flip, what would this be? Would this be like instant chaos, or would this be instant enlightenment?
Well, we know the magnetic field of the sun regulates fertility in females. It regulates the menstrual cycle. So when we get a lot of sunspots, we get more estrogen and progesterone in females. And that means we have more children, more fertility. And the opposite is true. At sunspot minimums, we get less estrogen, less progesterone, less fertility in females, and we have declining civilizations. And this is what the Maya understood. At the same time, the sun's magnetic field and the Earth's magnetic field are mutually coupled. So the if you imagine the Earth like a compass needle, then when the sun's magnetic field changes from, say, northeast to southeast, then the Earth will be flipped like a needle from northeast to southeast. It will slip on its axis, and it can bring catastrophic destruction. We know this has happened in the past. It happened in 3113 BC, 3,000 years before Christ. That's when the Maya calendar began, which is a bit curious, because the Maya didn't arrive on the Earth until about 100 AD, 100 BC, at Teotihuacan anyway. So why would a civilization that arrived on the planet 100 BC around Teotihuacan in Mexico subscribe to a calendar that began 3,000 years before they appeared on the planet? They subscribed to it because they knew. They worship the sun, and the last solar magnetic reversal that occurred in 3113 BC, and that magnetic reversal twisted Venus upside down on its axis. That's why they called it the birth of Venus. That's when their calendar began, at the birth of Venus. And, of course, it also means the birth of Jesus, because Jesus was Venus. So the rebirth of Venus is the rebirth of Jesus. And this is what they said about Lord Peikal. Peikal is actually the Hebrew word for Pasach, which is in Catholicism, it's Pascal, which refers to Easter or the Passover. So Pascal in Catholicism refers to Jesus who died on the cross at Easter. And Lord Peikal was the leader of the Maya who died in AD 750. So it's the same guy, even the names are similar. So what happens is the solar magnetic field, sometimes it tilts Venus upside down, and if the magnetic twist is strong enough, it sometimes tilts the Earth upside down. And when the Earth doesn't tilt upside down, it's not the end of the story, because the molten magma inside the Earth is like a donut circulating around the Earth's axis inside, and that circulating magma, the molten magma rubbing against the solid core of the Earth, rubs against the solid core. But the reason the core is solid is because the pressure in the middle of the Earth is massive, and that stops the middle of the Earth, even though it's hotter than everywhere else on the Earth, even though it's hotter, it keeps it solid because of the pressure. Whether something melts or not only depends on the temperature, but it depends on the pressure. And as the pressure gets more and more in the middle of the Earth, the less able the magma is to, or the rock is to melt into magma, molten rock. So what happens is inside the Earth, we've got a circulating donut-shaped magma flow. This sets up, when you rub iron against iron, whether it's on a railway wheel and track or whatever, you'll get a spark. This is why at filling stations, nothing's iron. If you fill your car up with petrol, it's aluminium. If you rub aluminium against anything, you won't get a spark. It's because iron is unique. It's magnetic with cobalt and nickel. Those are the three magnetic. And there's a couple of other rare earth elements like neodymium, and a couple of the radioactive ones are magnetic as well. But when we're talking about regular elements, iron, nickel, and cobalt are the magnetic ones in the middle of the Earth. They're heavy. And because they're magnetic, they've been sucked towards the middle of the Earth over millions of years by gravity, because the gravity waves heat up the Earth. That's what melts the inside of the Earth, is the gravity waves. It's none of this nonsense about planets banging into each other thousands of years ago, which heated the core of the Earth. That's just nonsense. That doesn't happen in physics. What happens is all of the gravity waves migrate towards the middle of the Earth. That heats up all the rock in the Earth. The rock in the middle stays solid because of the pressure, but the rock halfway between the middle and the surface becomes molten. Because we get more sunlight striking the Earth around the equator, we get more magma around the equatorial regions and the poles. Because gravity works, the hydrogen atom sucks in heat and radiates gravity waves. That's how it works. So we get a donut shape of flowing magma. That sets up, because it's rubbing against a solid iron, an electric current called eddy currents. The eddy currents generate a magnetic field, and this is what generates the Earth's magnetic field from North Pole to South Pole. Well, if the sun's magnetic field starts to change from left to right, from northeast to southeast, then what happens is even if the Earth doesn't flip on its axis, the molten magma begins to tip from left to right. So the Earth's the associated magnetic field begins to wander. So whenever the sun's field changes, the Earth's magnetic field wanders in response. And as it tilts from left to right, it starts to scrape on solid rock instead of molten rock. As it scrapes on the solid rock, it generates more heat inside the Earth, and that causes volcanoes to blow and earthquakes. And when we get blowing volcanoes, we get volcanic ash. And when we get volcanic ash, we enter a period of constant darkness and constant nighttime. The temperatures drop, and we enter an ice age. So the sun's magnetic field regulates not only the sun's magnetic field, but that's just a symptom of the changing azimuth of the magnet inside the middle of the planet, which is causing global warming and global cooling. And this is the underlying mechanism behind global warming and global cooling. It's the sun's magnetic field, which changes every 11.49 years, every 187 years, every 18,139 years. And during the 18,000-year cycle, the sun's magnetic field changes direction five times. And so we expect changes in the magnetic field of the Earth periodically. It's not a problem. It's a natural response. And of course, as we discussed earlier, you change the magnetic field around a human brain and the behavior of the human brain will change. So not only will we get infertility, because females will have less magnetism affecting their brain, they'll have less estrogen, less progesterone, so we'll have less babies at certain times. And this accommodates the rise and fall of civilizations on Earth. This is why we get successive civilizations and unsuccessful civilizations, like the Egyptians and so on. We have golden ages because the sun's magnetic field is changing all the time. And it's explained in the book just how planet Mercury affects the magnetic field of the sun. You know, it's all down to Mercury. The magnetic pull of Mercury affects the magnetic fields of the sun, and the sun's magnetic field flips every 11 and a half years. It changes every 187, and again five times every 18,000. And that affects life on Earth. Those cycles merge together. So it's pretty straightforward. There's nothing complicated about it. You just have to get your head around it. And as I say, once you understand how astrology works, all of these other pieces come together. And this explains, of course, why modern science has been unable to figure out any of this stuff that we're talking about, why it can't understand how the atom works, why it can't understand why galaxies are made the way they are, why it can't understand how electricity works, magnetism works, gravity works. It's because they've turned their backs on astrology. And without astrology, you can't get into any of these secrets.
Excellent. Well, when we come back, let's talk about how the year of the dragon turns out to be a good thing, how the Chinese believe that talented, smart, attractive people are born during this particular time. When we come back with Maurice Cotterell, Future Science on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Maurice Cotterell. I want to find out what makes the Year of the Dragon so special, and if we can expect a new rasher of special and talented people, and as many of your calls as we can take between now and the conclusion of tonight's program. Please stand by for just a couple of minutes. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Maurice, let me ask you very quickly, where is your book available? Where may it be obtained?
Well, it was published in Ireland, and although it's listed on Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk, it can be ordered, but it's not stocked. The reason for that, John, is because they only stock books which are discounted, and the book is such an expensive book to produce, we couldn't afford to discount it. So you can order it through Amazon, but you can get it directly off my website. You can get signed copies off www.morriscotterell.com. Alternatively, I've donated about 20 copies to the U.S. library system. So if you don't wish to buy a copy, you can get one for free anyway on loan from the U.S. library, although you may have to wait until it's posted to you. I'm not sure how your system works. But anybody who wants a copy, log on to my website and you can order one through PayPal.
All right. And if anyone emails me and didn't get the the information, I'll be happy to email them back.
Thank you.
I was looking at the book. It is a very expensive book. It's one of those books that'll last 100 years. Excellent plates. Very interesting photographs. It's very well written and very good. Very, very, just an excellent piece of work. My compliments, sir. Let me ask you something real quick. Mayan Vedic Chinese astrology, do they agree on anything? And which one do you focus on the most closely, any or all or a combination?
They're all based on the sunspot cycle, and they all agree. It's just different ways of looking at the same thing. It's like Western astrology looks at the months, Chinese astrology looks at the years, but you actually have to bring them all together to get a complete picture. For example, if you bring the 12 Western signs together with the 12 Chinese annual signs together, we get 144 astrological combinations. Now it gets complicated. You can be more specific and more detailed in your analysis and your predictions. So they're all of value, and they all work because of the sun. And you're asking why the dragon is so special. The dragon is a sunspot maximum, which is this year. So there's an inverse relationship between sunspot maximums and cosmic rays striking the Earth. So what we find is that during a sunspot maximum, minimum cosmic rays strike the fetus during its gestation period. So the dragon, the resulting dragon which is born, is more intelligent. Let me explain why I say that, more gifted. I know this because of the research I've done on honeybees. And not many people probably appreciate this, but there are three types of honeybee. You've got the worker, the drone, and the queen. And they have different gestation periods. The interesting thing that most people don't know is that usually there's only about 4 or 5 queen cells laid in a hive. But if something happens like a disaster to the hive, and all of those 5 queens are killed, the worker bee drags a worker maggot out of its cell, takes it from being horizontal, turns it into a vertical orientation, and the worker maggot becomes a queen. Now, scientists say that this is impossible. After all, it seems the only thing that's changed is that the worker bees feed the new queen to be royal jelly instead of pollen and honey during its gestation period. So science says you can't alter the genetic combination. You can't alter the genes of something through diet. That's what modern science dictates. So nobody understands how you can take a worker maggot, turn it vertically, and turn it into a queen bee, which is bigger, hairier, and completely different to a worker. My experiments I showed was that when you turn it vertically, the worker bee is subjected to electric radiation instead of magnetic radiation. Not only that, but the gestation period for the queen is only 16 days, the new queen, whereas for a normal worker bee is 21 days. So the new queen only gets 16 days in a microwave oven, if you like, whereas the worker bee gets 21 days in the same microwave oven, which is 90 degrees to the other queen. What this means is that the queen bee is converted not because of the diet, but because of the genetic mutations caused by the 90 degree change in its orientation, which means it's subjected to electric rather than magnetic radiation because the two are 90 degrees apart. So what we're saying is that by reducing the amount of radiation, the honeybee becomes bigger, cleverer, and turns into a queen. In the same way, sunspot maximums lead to radiation minimums on Earth, which lead to dragons, which are more clever, more talented. They're the queen bee of the zodiac rather than the worker bee. And that's why waves of every 12 years, there's a 12-year cycle in the Chinese astrological calendar. It starts off with the year of the rat, which is followed by the ox, which is followed by the tiger, the rabbit, the dragon, the snake, the horse, the sheep, the monkey, the rooster, the dog, the pig. 12 years. And these years happen, recur, repeat every 12 years. And we If you go back to 1900, the calendar began with a rat. So 1912 was a rat, 24 was a rat, 36 was a rat, 48 was a rat, and so on. In the same way, 2000, the year 2000 was the year of the dragon. So 2012 is the year of the dragon, every 12 years. And if you go back to pop groups of the 60s, like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, they're all years of the dragon. They were all born, for example, 12 years before me. I'm the heir of the water dragon, but they were 12 years younger than me. So during the 60s, they were age 24 and I was age 12. And I became a teenager as the Beatles became more and more popular. And whenever we get flowering, blossoming of art or music, pop music or new inventions, you'll find that the classroom of the day, the classroom of graduates, were dragons. These are the ones that change everything and turn the world upside down. And that's why this year, the Sunspot Maximum causes more evaporation of water from the oceans. That leads to more clouds above the oceans, which blocks out the solar radiation. And that's why there's an inverse relationship between sunspots and cosmic rays bombarding the Earth. It's not a one-to-one correlation, it's inverse, it's opposite. So sunspot maximum, minimum cosmic rays, minimum mutations to the fetus in the womb. The fetus of the womb is born with all of its faculties not being burned out like a worker bee. It's born with all of its faculties intact. That explains why the year of the dragon is so special.
So now, what do you make of the end of the Mayan calendar?
Well, there is no end to the Mayan calendar. And I can tell you the story behind the story, if
Please.
You like. I took my book, The Mayan Prophecies, to a publisher in 1994 called Element Books Limited. And they agreed, it was all about the Maya in Palenque and sunspots and the earlier work. And they said they'd publish it, but they wanted it jazzed up to make it more popular. Well, I said, look, you don't seem to understand what this work's like. It's already popular. And when people get hold of it, you know, it'll immediately become obvious why it's so popular. But being a publisher of the day, they refused to spend any money on the book. They refused to take time on the book. In fact, after that book, I did the artwork myself. All of the artwork in the new books, for example, I've done myself because nobody in the world can do it like me. So I had to do it. That's why it's a lot better. But in the early days, they said, we want to make it popular. Another reason they didn't need to say that was because a fan of my work was Lord Rothermere. And he owned the Daily... He's died since then, sadly. But he owned the Daily Mail newspaper in England, which is the largest... It's not the largest daily selling newspaper, but it's a national newspaper which sells in middle-class circles. The down-market papers sell a lot more because they have naked women on page three and so on. But of the quality tabloids, if you like, the Daily Mail is the biggest, and they serialize books. And Lord Rothermere had already agreed to serialize my work when the book appeared. So, you know, they didn't need to popularize it. The Daily Mail were going to do that anyway. Publishers Element Crook said, look, we're not going to publish it unless you allow us to pick somebody to rewrite it and popularize it. So reluctantly, in order to get the scientific work published, I agreed, although I wasn't happy about it. In fact, I gave half of the book away, essentially, which I didn't want to do, but they wouldn't publish it unless I did. So I showed how the sun affected life on Earth, and they got this other guy, a friend of the chairman of the publishers, to so-called rewrite it. What I said was the Maya died out in AD 750, 1,250 years ago, because of a solar magnetic reversal, which caused a mini ice age on Earth. That's what happens when you have a solar magnetic reversal. Lower female fertility, so they had less babies. It caused increased X-rays because X-rays strike the Earth more perpendicularly around the equator than the North Pole and the South Pole. So the X-rays from the sun, which increase during a sunspot maximum, have more effect on equatorial regions like Mexico. So what happened was the Maya died out through several factors in AD 750. They had a drought, because there's many ice age, less water evaporated from the oceans. They were had more infant mortality because the x-rays damaged the fetus in the womb, causing spontaneous fetal abortion, and so on. And what Element tried to say was, they said two things. One, the Mayan calendar ends in 2012, which it doesn't. And the second thing is that the Maya, the whole world will die out in 2012 due to infertility, due to x-rays, due to a drought, and so on. And I said, well, no, it's not going to happen in 2012. In fact, if we look at when the 11.49-year cycle ends, that won't reach a maximum until the year of the dragon. The 187-year cycle won't end until 2087, and the next solar reversal won't happen until the year 4367. They said, we don't care. We're going to tell people the calendar ends, that all of the cycles come together, and the world will end at that time. I said, well, it's not like that. If you look at the scholar, the work of S.G. Morley, the Mayan scholar of the 1940s, he said he identified 8 different cycles used by the Maya in their calendar. One day was called a kin, 20 days was called a weenal, 360 days was called a tun, 7,200 days was called a katun, 144,000 days is called a bakton, 2,880,000 days is called a picton, 57,600,000 days is called a kalabton, 1,152,000,000 days is called a kinchiliton. Now, 4 of those cycles come to an end this year, but 4 of them do not, clearly. So it's not the end of a calendar. In fact, this is the 13th cycle of 144,000 days. That's all it is. This year is the 13th of the 144,000-day cycle. And all of the others to the right, the katun, the tun, the weenal, and the kin, are zero. But all of the cycles to the left, the billions of days, the millions of days, they're all still going. The calendar doesn't end. So it's nonsense. Anyway, they said, well, can't you say something in the book that it's going to end? And I said, no, the only connection I could make is that there's possibly a connection with a precession cycle if you examine the cycles. But that's not hard and fast. It's not, you know, I'm not saying there is, but there could be. So the book was published. It was serialized in the Daily Mail. It was translated into about 25 languages. It became a bestseller. The next thing I knew, there was 2 or 3 American authors who all came out with books saying the world's going to end in 2012 because the magnetic field of the sun's going to reverse, the Earth's going to align with a galactic equator, all sorts of stuff out of midair. I don't know where they got it from, but it had no bearing whatsoever on science and no bearing whatsoever on the Mayan prophecies, which are listed in the books of Chile and Balam, the books of the Jaguar, or the books of the golden sun with its brown sunspots. So it was just hype, all of this stuff about 2012. Now, of course, Zachariah Sitchin, he favors the fact that the world is destroyed every 3,600 years because of another planet, Planet X. Now, he believes this because if you look at the ancient civilizations, the information they left behind, it seems that the world is destroyed every 3,600 years. But what's happening is, if you look at the sunspot cycle, the sun's magnetic field reverses every 3,600 years. To be exact, it's 3,647 years on average. When that happens, the Earth's magnetic field changes. The as we said before, we get cycles of infertility, we get bombardment of x-rays, we get droughts, we get hurricanes, we get floods, we get earthquakes. So again, what Sitchin sees as a 3,600-year planet arriving in our solar system doesn't exist. He's just invented a planet to account for the sunspot reversals and the magnetic behavior of the sun and the effect it has on the Earth.
Well, it just so happens that December 21st, 2012, falls on a Friday, so guess where I'll be on the 22nd? Right here in this chair, unless something goes terribly wrong for me and terribly right for, well. So I'm going to, I made a prediction that what was going to happen on the 21st of December 2012 was to be nothing.
Exactly.
All right then. in the few minutes that we have left, because I'm afraid we're not going to be able to get to many callers, if any, but tell us how, in your opinion, we should live our lives. You mentioned doing God's work earlier. What might that be, and what would you admonish people to do over the course of the year, other than not worry?
Well, you have to do exactly what Jesus said. You know, if we simplify everything we've been talking about for the past few hours, you can use the expression, love God and love your neighbor. Look after the pennies and the pounds, look after themselves, if you like. Because if you love God and love your neighbor, your voltage will grow. And when it leaves your body, you'll go to heaven and become one with God again. And that's it. You'll go to heaven instead of coming back here again.
All right. We're going to be waiting a while then. All these geniuses and talented people, we're going to have to wait a couple of decades before their work is realized.
Well, that goes for all of us. I mean, very often our work isn't realized until after we're dead for various reasons. And, you know, a lot of this work probably won't be, because the people who subscribe to the model of the day, to smashing atoms apart in accelerators and things like that, there's no incentive for them to discover how gravity works. If they're going to get paid $5 billion a year not to discover how it works, why discover how it works? There's no incentive there for them. You know, there's no incentive to them to subscribe to science. Why bother? The true scientists are the amateur scientists. Those are the ones who are driven by scientific inquiry and not by ego. If you look at scientists, all they care about is themselves, their jobs, their money. If they do discover anything, they have no rights to it because they've sold their soul to the drug manufacturer or whoever wants the patent. They can't criticize their other people's work because of they've got to answer to the people who pay them, their wages.
Exactly.
And the whole world is hell. You know, as we said earlier, it is hell. As long as you know it's hell, you can understand how it works and how we're not going to change it. So the best thing you can do is try to escape, purify your soul, try to become peaceful inside, realize that we're all at the same energy. The trees, the plants, the animals, we all have souls. And our generation will be wiped out one day. There's no question about this. If you look at, as I said earlier.
We've got to go, bro. We have absolutely got to go. Maurice, I hate to cut you off, but we've got to go. Maurice Cotterell has been our guest tonight for Ship's Captain George Norrie, Commanders Nat Punnett, Simone, Princess Lisa Lyon, Lieutenants David and Gina in L.A., Command, and the cook, that's me, John B. Remember, God is in the details as well as the devil. Perhaps both. The answer is right there in front of us. We just have to keep looking until we see it. Until next Saturday night, be well.